is what I'm doing.
I never do that, you know.
Hey there, friends. This is Andy coming to you live from Orange County with my beautiful wife, which is shocking to some people.
Oh, no.
Not shocking that you're my wife, but shocking. You know what I mean?
No, I don't actually. What are you referring to? Because you've, from what I hear, been quite a player. So
what?
I don't think it's shocking that your wife may be attractive. I wouldn't expect nothing less from what I hear. I'm honored, actually. I'm humbled.
What is going on right now? Whew, what a day. Sunday.
I love Sundays.
On Sundays, we come to you a little bit later because we often have a busy, busy day. We wake up really early. Yes. And it takes a while for me to get looking like this. And so I have to wake up extra early, take a shower.
I'm kind of washing wear kind of girl.
Yeah, it's like, come on. And then we drive to church. We made a video today on our walk to church. Yeah, remember that? That was pretty cool. But a great message again by Pastor Jack over at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. There's a difference. So I think we'll talk about it later on, but it was another good message. Then we had lunch with a friend in Christ. Amazing story evangelizing in Israel.
Yes.
Of all places.
Yes.
Muslims.
Oh, Palestinians. Love that.
Talk about people with bravery and just like, hey, God's got this.
Listen to her sleep on the beach and getting chased around by the police, held at gunpoint, stoned. Oh my goodness. What people would do for the gospel.
We're meeting some crazy. Maybe a little crazy. Some amazing people as we walk in just a different path than our past. Different path than our past.
For sure, different than our past.
So amazing. Hey, Priscilla, nice to see you. All right, so we're going to read from the devotional so we can get started on that. Before that, go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. If you've not gone and subscribed to our podcast on Apple Podcast, go there first. Subscribe. Hit 5 stars. Give it a great review, and then you can watch it anywhere else. It's on iHeartRadio. It's on Spotify. It's on Google Podcasts. It's everywhere. We just want you to go to that one platform first and then go everywhere else. Hey, April Roga, I haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been?
Yes.
What's been going on, my friend? And then Priscilla saying hi to April. We love our community talking to each other and saying hi. It is awesome. All right, we'll get rid of the Lord. Were you going to say something?
No.
Oh. Okay. All right, here we go. So today, again, as usual, reading from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, February 28th. Do you now believe? And then the reference is John 16, 30 through 31. By this we believe. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Now we believe, but Jesus asked, do you? Indeed, the hour is coming that you will leave me alone. Many Christian workers have left Jesus Christ alone and yet tried to serve him out of a sense of duty or because they sense a need as a result of their own discernment. The reason for this is actually the absence of the resurrection life of Jesus. Our soul has gotten out of intimate contact with God by leaning on our own religious understanding. This is not deliberate sin, and there is no punishment attached to it. But once a person realizes how he has hindered his understanding of Jesus Christ and caused uncertainties, sorrows, and difficulties for himself, it is with shame and remorse that he has to return. We need to rely on the resurrection life of Jesus on a much deeper level than we do now. We should get in the habit of continually seeking his counsel on everything instead of making our own common sense decisions and then asking him to bless them. I just got that. He cannot bless them. It is not in his realm to do so. And those decisions are severed from reality. If we do something simply out of a sense of duty, we are trying to live up to a standard that competes with Jesus Christ. We become a prideful, arrogant person thinking we know what to do in every situation. We have put our sense of duty on the throne of our life instead of enthroning the resurrection life of Jesus. We are not told to walk in the light of our conscience or the light of a sense of duty, but to walk in the light as he is in the light. Mm. When we do something out of a sense of duty, it is easy to explain the reason for our actions to others. But when we do something out of obedience to the Lord, there can be no explanation, no other explanation, just obedience. This is why a saint can be so easily ridiculed and misunderstood.
So much in this.
So much more in this now that I read it again.
Really?
Yes, but you go ahead. You go ahead.
My walk with Christ has been such an adventure, and I've talked about that a bit, but one part of it that is acute to me right now is I try to ask him about everything. Sometimes I hear answers, sometimes I don't. And I've moved cities, my daughter's changed schools, and I started the ministry, and then I was making a documentary, and then it didn't work out, and I was at a different church. And every step of the way, he inspires me to move, to change, to pivot. And it doesn't make any sense. And it really is, it's very, very hard to follow he that is in the light and not to follow what people tell me are the rules of the beginning of a Christian walk. And most, I think you experience this a lot, is our relationship, where I was in the middle of like my focus on the ministry. And then if the pivot was to creating this life with you, and I had friends, I had family say to me, what are you doing? What, you know, like, this is moving too fast. Same thing you heard. And, you know, I'm moving cities. And every time I would go back to the Lord and be like, I feel negligent about the ministry. And he's like, be patient, daughter, like, focus on this life you're building. Like, this, I gave you this, this is a gift, and focus on this gift. And it was my natural inclination is to work, to do things. And he was like, no, focus on starting a family and being a wife, which is a substantial pivot. And a lot of people around me are like, wait, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's just obedience. You just gotta be obedient. And it doesn't make sense. Sometimes even to yourself, it doesn't make sense. It definitely doesn't make sense to people around who are watching you, but it's a glorious experience. It really is.
Yeah, and I kind of, there's so much to kind of, and I don't mean to get, I'm not giggling at Jesus or Oswald Chambers, but it's just like this truth right here. We should get in the habit of continually seeking his counsel, Jesus Christ, on everything, instead of making our own common sense decisions.
Yeah.
And then asking him to bless them.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've done that all my life.
Most Christians, I notice most Christians do that, you know? They come with a cooked meal and they're like, here, can you bless this food? It's like, I didn't cook that. Why do I have to bless that? You know?
Yeah.
Because I'm a new Christian, I'm doing the opposite. I'm listening and then watching it unfold in front of me, and it's wonky. You look like a nut sometimes.
I mean, when I
moved out of my house into a rented house, I own my house, I'm in a rented house to send my daughter 30 miles away to a school. I was like, what are you doing? And it was just like the Lord kept saying, move, walk into the fullness of Christ.
It's like common sense would say, why don't you go to the church closest to your house?
Exactly, which I was going up the street. It was like 30 seconds away from my house. God's like, you got to get out of this church. Yeah. Out.
Maybe you should drive 65
miles to another church.
Same with here, my church here.
Yeah. Like,
well, you can just go to church online. Why do you need to drive anywhere?
Yeah.
Right. Your church going to for 15 years is online. Why do you need to get in your car and drive anywhere? Especially when it's, you know, 20 minutes away.
Dangerous to die.
Yeah. I could die. And so again, there's that thing where your common sense says, stay home, watch it on TV.
Yeah.
Not be moved by anything the pastors are saying, really.
Exactly.
To go fight for,
do it in your PJs,
your rights and your religious rights and your school and all those things. That's you know why. Instead, get in your car, drive 20 minutes away, and be amongst 3,000. Yes,
and get accosted. Can I mention a little bit about the story? We're not going to go too deep into the story, but I think this is a good example of people who do things out of religious duty. So we're having this little problem at church with some of the church volunteers, who really, I think, have gotten to the point where they show up and do this job out of a duty. They're not trying to emulate Christ. It's not because they're following Christ.
Oh my gosh, this is a perfect story.
it really felt, I mean, that's really what hit me, other than, you know, my own experiences. It was that story of these people where they're just doing this out of a sense of duty. They have no heart in it anymore. They're actually mean. They're turning people away from church. There's no discernment at all. There's no heart or spirit or Christ-like behavior being exhibited. And I just like, I just hope that they go back, because we had to report the behavior, because it's really gotten to the point where it's caused me like PTSD showing up to church. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen to me.
At a church we love.
Church we love, which I think is so from the enemy to try to get us to not to go or to be discouraged. And I'm sure these individuals will experience some repercussion. And I just hope they have a come to Jesus moment where they pray about like, am I still in the right place, Lord? Because some people stop asking if they're in the right place.
Yeah.
They stop constantly asking the Lord, what am I supposed to be doing right now?
You remind me, this is not where I was going when you first started the story, but it's taking me to this place. As a business owner where I've employed hundreds of people over the last couple of years, the one thing that comes that you have to do once in a while is fire somebody. And it wasn't until I fired my, 100th person or whatever, that somebody said, you know what, you have to not feel bad about it. As a matter of fact, you are probably doing them a favor. The right. best thing you can do sometimes in somebody's life is fire them so they can understand the consequences of not working hard, what it means to be a business owner, what it means to maintain an attitude, a positive attitude in the workplace, for the betterment of the workplace, and that it's not always about them, that it's about doing the right thing, right. doing the right job.
But it's also about
being
destiny.
There on time, learning how to be there on time.
Like maybe it's not the right job for them and you're setting them free.
Yeah. And then I went back I was fired once, but I got rehired. But that firing changed my attitude. I never want to be fired again.
Ever.
Yeah. And I can think about the time I got caught shoplifting. I was in second grade, I got caught shoplifting. I stole a handle grip from my bicycle and I got caught by the security guard at Kmart. And I was hoping that because my dad was home, that they called my house. My brother answered. My brother, who was old enough to drive at the time, came and picked me up from security. I thought, well, I'm safe. I made it. No, but my brother snitched me off to my dad. And my dad, you know, punished me physically. And but that was the turning point of my life. Wow. I never would have became a cop, I don't think, if I would have been caught shoplifting as a second grader. Look so these things, and that brings me back to this point. This man has to be told that he needs to either change the way that he's handling this gift of being of service at the church. Or maybe it's just time for him to do something else. Maybe that's not for him. You know, we can believe, and again, common sense may tell us, well, I like to serve people.
I've been doing this forever.
Yeah, you know, but
this is what I do.
The
church needs me. I'm a senior member of this church. And
no, we need you somewhere else.
Yeah, you're repellent at this point to this church.
And I don't want you to think that we're not. I mean, I'm not a complainer. Are you?
No. Especially not against people. Like, no. I never want to hurt other people.
People might be saying, like, well, you guys just haven't. No, I'm telling you, this has been going on for weeks. This is not just a one-time thing. It's to the point today where it happened to me.
Of course, because if it happens to me, then I'm a woman and I'm just emotional and difficult.
Why are you being so sensitive? Yeah. Why would it happen? They're like, all right, it happened. You handled it just fine. It's okay. We won't say anything.
Get over it.
It happened to me today.
And then it was over. And
now who are we going to talk to get this straightened out?
Yeah, right.
Did y'all watch? Yes, yeah. So we'll get to that in 1 second. Yeah, absolutely. So just on this devotional, and I really love that part about the common sense decisions.
Yeah.
Even when it comes to people that I've chosen to marry, to get in relationships with, this is the type of person that I'm supposed to be with, you know, and I'm not going to go into the description, but the description, you know, was one of a certain type.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And not a Persian princess.
Which is probably not
a Persian that's taller than me, that's smarter than me. None of those things ever entered my
Brown eyes, apparently.
Or brown eyes. No, brown eyes was not in there. But here I am, happier than I've ever been in my entire life. More amazed every day at something that I learn or hear about something that you've done in your past or a thought that you have. Like, whoa, whoa, like, where did that come from? Like, it's just this incredible, like, this is so not what I've ever thought, a type of person I ever thought I'd be. Not, I don't mean type in a bad way. I mean, type overall.
Yeah.
Like,
and common sense people all around us are like, what are you guys doing? It gets crazy. Like, what are you, what are you doing?
Yes.
And I tell him, like, I don't know. I've loved Andy since the beginning of time. So it's just, it's a God thing.
Wow. In this meeting today, I learned so much more about you. It's wow, I'm really with this person. Like, what the heck? How's that? But then we often say too, and we've said this before, is that 2 years ago, no matter about all of whatever, it never would have worked.
Because we would have been using our common sense understanding of what's appropriate.
Yes. Son of a biscuit eater. Yes.
Yeah.
You are so right. I mean, that is the thing we talk about all the time. Like, there's no way this would have worked 2 years ago, five years ago, 10 years ago, ever.
Let's transition to this, to the sermon today, where Jack is like, Christians, suit up, show up, and live life as an adventure. Every day, set your divine appointment. Ask the Lord, please set my divine appointments. How are you going to use me today? He's like, I don't care if you're going in an Uber, or you're talking to a neighbor, or you get a flat tire and it's the AAA guy. He's like, ask yourself to be used by God and set your divine appointments. And ask him to set the divine appointment, meaning like bring that to your consciousness that everybody you meet and every interaction you have has a purpose in the kingdom. Yeah. And this is a cool way to live.
Yeah. We often go over our favorite parts of today after we get done with service. We get in the car and we say, okay, what was your favorite part? And then we go over each one of the favorite parts. And then she'll say, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. And that was one of my favorite parts when he was talking about you get a flat tire. And then the guy's there to fix the tire from AAA, and he has to be there. He can't go anywhere. He's got your car jacked up, and he's there. Like, you don't miss the opportunity to tell him how much Jesus Christ loves him and start to share the gospel with him. He has nowhere to go.
Exactly. Yeah. Captive audience, like your Uber driver. And he's like, inevitably, my Uber driver is named Khalid or Muhammad, and they love to talk about Jesus and God. And it's true, because Muslims always are trying to proselytize or evangelize. So they assume if you're open to talking about it, they're going to convince you. And then lo and behold, you're the one doing the convincing. So it's a great opportunity to sit down and talk about God and Jesus to Muslims.
Yeah. So much that today's service was, I learned about Easter.
Yes.
Who knew? I thought and I could never figure out what
the bunny had
the
to
bunny
do.
And the egg had to do with Easter and
with the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah, with the resurrection. That doesn't make any sense. And then he goes into talking about Easter was named after Esther.
Yeah, but Esther as a pagan holiday, like, because Esther is her Babylonian name.
Yep.
So we just connected because it occurs at the same time with the resurrection of Christ. But all the rituals of Easter that we now know are pagan rituals.
About fertility.
Exactly. That's why there's bunny and the eggs. And
Shocked me.
Well, a lot of my original Christian friends, my mentors along the way, were Baptists. So I heard that early on.
Really?
They told me, it's a pagan holiday. Don't celebrate Easter. And I'm like, well, but it's resurrection. Man. You can celebrate the resurrection, but not Easter. So
I've learned so much over about this first and second amendment. I told you, like, I didn't know. I never thought the second amendment was in place to protect the first amendment. Like, now I keep hearing it.
Yep.
Like, it keeps coming up. This about the bunnies.
Now that makes sense, though, right?
Bunny fornication is what Easter's all about. Like, what the hell? Like, no.
Now what are we going to do about your Easter?
I'm going to be laughing like, it's about bunnies making bunnies. Like, what the? And then the eggs.
And how do we Christianize that? I don't know. I don't know how we do that.
How did that ever come to be?
Yeah.
Wow. And why have I never known this? Why has this not ever been shared?
How are we gonna adopt the Easter egg hunt?
What is a chocolate bunny? Oh, you give a woman chocolate so you can.
Well, it is considered an aphrodisiac.
Wow. It's all coming together now,
isn't it?
It's all starting to make sense.
There you go.
I was going to say something about you loving chocolate, but we're not going to say that.
This is a devotional.
And then Deborah with her brown eyes are so sultry.
Oh,
so there's a bunch of O's.
There you go.
My husband and I would not have worked either if we met at a different time. God's timing is always perfect.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, there's no way. There's no way. I can just look like in recent times, like it pictures even on my posts from Facebook 2 years ago and go, nah, there's no way Hedy would have fit in to that jerk. That was walking around. That just would not have happened. All right. And so anything else on the devotional or?
I just encourage everybody to just constantly bring everything to the Lord, try to hear from him. And if you don't, try to stop moving. That was one thing that I constantly made a mistake. If I didn't hear, I would keep going. I'm like, it's okay. I learned by the 2x4. I'll just keep walking. When he hits me in the rear end, I know to stop. Yes. And I'm trying not to do that anymore because it's really not a pleasant way to learn. But to keep constantly asking and hoping to hear from him, because he tells the most amazing things, like mm-hmm. just things that are wacky. That's what makes it fun. I mean, yeah. to trust. So the second day that Andy and I went out, I was in church and I heard from the Lord that Andy was the one. And so I came to the relationship sure that we were going to spend the rest of our lives together. And in the beginning, he's like, I don't understand where you're coming from. And I'm like, the Lord said, so I'm just waiting for you to catch up because this is done as far as I'm concerned. And it's just, but that's a wild adventure. It really is. And I think that's what Jack was encouraging in us as well. He was also, his theme was, don't get depressed about what's happening in the world. As we get closer to the end times, Jesus's power is stronger because he's about to come back, and use it as a chance to speak boldly, defend the gospel, because his power is with you. Not because you're strong or because you're great, but because his power in you will increase. The closer you draw to him, the greater you'll see his strength and you'll see him move in your life, which was very encouraging today.
Yep. The only other thing I was thinking of before we move on to another topic is the divine appointments that both you and Jack have been talking about. Is that the one thing since I met you is and this sounds kind of weird, but I'm more social. And there may be an appearance that I'm fairly social, but actually going and meeting people for lunch is not like really been one of my things. I'm sorry, friends.
You do seem kind of social.
Well, once I get there, then I become social. Okay. It's just getting like people, hey, let's meet for lunch. Okay, yeah, we'll get together for lunch. And we never do. My family, let's meet for dinner, blah, blah, and we never do. I just like, I'm a horrible friend. I'm so sorry that I'm a horrible friend because I get asked to go places all the time. Well, but so with you. Since you, I've actually gone, and now we've gone out with Vinny and Nadine. We've Bruce, gone out with Bruce.
Your neighbors, the pastor.
Yes. I can go on. And then during those conversations, I learn so much, or we make some connection, or, hey, I need that person's phone number. I mean, it has been like, what the hell? Why haven't I been doing that either? Why? The divine appointments is a thing.
It is a thing. And isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because, and also I think in relationships, it often does rely on the woman to like take the initiative. Mm. And I was really inspired for the past couple of weeks to reach out. Jackie is a friend of Andy's, and the Lord's like, hey, respond to her, reach out to her. And I just did. And I was like, hey, Jackie, you available tomorrow? Will this be for lunch? And it was awesome learning about her life. And we had some roads that intersected. It was fantastic.
I'm getting a little jealous because all my friends are now her friends.
Well, I mean, they're our friends.
Yeah, but you guys end up having these connections. Like,
he does.
I'm still here.
You all are a great group of people. His friends are amazing.
I have some pretty cool friends. Yeah, so do you. You do. I've met a few of your friends too, and they're fantastic. My mom used to say I needed to have a piano dropped on my head to hear God's message. Yeah. Not anymore. Yep.
Not a good way to learn.
Yeah. I will send you out as sheep amongst other wolves.
That's another part of the sermon.
Oh, that was so good. That was one of my favorite parts.
Yes.
That definitely was one of my favorite parts. When he's going, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to disciple. And we're going to say, yes, you're going to be sheep. Yes. And he goes, but there's wolves out there. And he goes, did you say
we're
wolves?
We're the sheep and they're the wolves?
Did you say wolves? He goes, yeah, but I got a staff. I'm the shepherd. I got a staff. But you said there's like wolves out there. they eat us. Yeah, but that's okay. I got you. I got this.
I got you six.
And then when he tells a story like that, just cracks me up. I use a lot of, stories about child raising. When I'm talking about dogs, and when I'm talking about dogs, I talk about child raising. You have to use those references because that's how people sometimes connect. And so I love it when somebody who's pastoring or speaking uses, you know, their emotions and their mannerisms and stuff, and tell a story like that, that really connects with me. So I, guys are visual.
Yes.
And so I think that helps with the visualization of saying, oh, okay, that makes total sense. That, you know, the way that he puts things, especially when he's talking about the rabbits.
Well, and and in that particular part about the sheep and the wolves is similar to what Oswald here is saying, where Jesus said to the disciples, so the scripture verses right before that are like, oh, now we understand, you're not speaking in that weird like parable thing. You're speaking plain English, and now we know you're sent by God. And he's like, but do you? Because not 24 hours later, they all run and deny him, right. You know, and then nobody is left. So even when they do believe, they're not willing to be obedient,
yep.
You know, where they think they obey and they think they believe. So I think it's the same message to us. Like, do you really believe? If you really believe, and he's the shepherd with the rod and the staff, and we are the sheep, then it's that power, that strength, that resurrection power in us to go and do the things that he's calling us to do that seem very scary.
Permission to use a dog analogy?
Please. I love the dog analogy.
There's so many dogs that people believe my dog is so vicious. He's going to eat somebody. He's so terrifying. He barks and growls and snarls. And sometimes it'll be either like at the front door, like with the screen door, like that, with the screen doors closed, or on leash. And I said, 9 times out of 10, you open that screen door, the dog won't run out after the person. And they go, how'd you know that? Because the other day, I go, yeah, you open the door, and the dog runs in the kitchen. Because it's the barrier, it's the safety about the sheep and the wolves. Like, yeah, I'm all ready to go. I'm going to kick your ass. You better go. And then they open, no. And then they run. And dogs are like that too. There's a great analogy that somehow I could come up with that. But the same dog, sometimes police dogs are the same way. Like, they're all this really tough dog on a leash. You take the leash off and they won't go bite anybody. They go, no, put the leash back on. It's like gang members. Gang members are that same way too. They're handcuffed. Like, oh, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass. Just unhandcuff me. Okay, we unhandcuff you. They go, well, I was just kidding. Go ahead and put the handcuffs back on. Yeah, next time I'll do that. Priscilla reminded me of the other one that always makes us laugh when he says, if you can save a Jew, I can save a you. He's so funny. Oh my gosh. Hey, we had some good analogies today. So CPAC was going on today, and I know this is a faith-based broadcast that we're doing.
Yes.
But CPAC was on. Yes, I did watch. Priscilla was, or Deborah, I think, was asking whether we saw Trump today. And yes.
All 45 seconds.
Yeah, I was like waiting for this big, long, you know, Trump-type rally that went on for like an hour and a half. Yeah. And I was like, and he goes, oh, thank you very much. And you go, wait a minute. we just sat down and got comfortable to listen to him. But, you know, so I think I expect a little bit more, but I there's got to be some strategy behind it. And there's nothing that he does or doesn't do without a reason.
For sure.
And so there's something I think he wanted to just give enough. He didn't want to give maybe some of the other channels enough to like go with, to like say, look, he said this and he said that, and he tried to get his troops all riled up to go attack somebody. Like, there's nothing. What he said was pretty safe. You know, he did talk about the thing that you said you won that part of the bet about the election, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was a little short. I wish it was a little bit longer. But what I want to get to in regard to CPAC about this whole thing coming on, one of the common messages that I heard a lot about is the attack on religion, on Christian, conservative Christians.
I saw that coming.
And the attack on the Bible, the attack on the Equality Act, which is not an Equality Act. It's an attack on Christians.
Christian values. Absolutely.
And so that is really one of the things that I'm going to take away from the 3 days of CPAC is that it's not, you know, I felt it. You could tell that I felt it based on not only these shows, but the shows I do in the evening. But then it's a common fear.
Across the United States. Pastor Jack's talking about all the time, too, which is like, this is the time of persecution that Jesus warned us about repeatedly, because a lot of the things that Jesus says about us being hated and offer yourself as a living sacrifice and know if they hate you, they hated me first. And we didn't experience that in America. Yeah. It was like, you know, drive-through Christianity was really easy and comfortable. Well, we are definitely going to enter a time when it's not going to be the case anymore. That you may have to lose things to follow Christ in this country.
Oh, wow. That's really, yeah.
Yeah, it's a new, we're here for such a time as this.
Yeah, I like that. Deborah says he talked for 2 hours, so somehow the feed must have got jumped.
He talked for 2 hours?
Yeah. It must have jumped something that we were watching. I was watching on right what's it called? Broadcast, right?
Right, broadcasting. Oh my goodness, Deborah. Thank you for telling us. Because I told him when I was in the car on the CPAC website, he was still talking, but the Right Broadcast Media clip, it ended in literally 3 minutes. So thanks for telling us.
We will go track it down. It was so seamless wherever it got cut.
Yeah, we didn't see
it. We were sitting there watching it and it suddenly went, all right, thank you, everybody. Gotta go.
Yeah, strange.
All right, so we'll try to find it. I'll find it and watch it.
Yeah. I'm here. I'm willing. Do you want to watch another episode?
No, because I don't want to lose any more of my bet.
Oh.
Because he's me talking about some of the other stuff. Oh my gosh, that is so weird that happened.
It is.
But anyway, back to my point. I did want to hear from President Trump, but I'm interested to see how he's going to take the party moving forward, since he seems to be the face of the party, regardless of what everybody else is saying and how other people feel. There was a poll that went out that said 97% of the people polled, I think, at the event, felt that he's the leader of the organization and of the party. So I just want to wait and see where this goes. My biggest concern is where we go in 2022 with the voting and who we get into power and who we get out of power and all that kind of stuff, because we need to address this thing with the Christian conservative movement, because we're going to be attacked. It's not good what's happening in our schools, in our churches, in our communities.
Absolutely.
Just everywhere and social media sites. I'm encouraged by all the new social media sites that are popping up, though.
Absolutely.
They're going to have to figure them all out. That kind of happened when Facebook came around on Twitter. There were others.
Right.
And then that we did out to these two. So we have a bunch, right? We have Parler. We have a MeWe. We got Rumble. Telegraph. I always do the wrong one. Rumble. There's a whole bunch that are coming out. And another one they announced that I already signed up for during CPAC. They announced. I already signed up for that one.
What's that?
It is called. Hold on. It is. I'm glad Deborah told us that it was longer than that, because that was really strange. Clout Hub.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Clout Hub is another one where it's it seems to have a lot of stuff. I already signed on to it, and it's taken a while to load, of course, because I wanted to share it. But yes, there's a whole
bunch of stuff. Very similar format.
To Facebook. Yeah, it has news, groups, channels, videos. Awesome.
Clout Hub, folks.
Clout Hub. Yeah, go to Clout Hub and sign up there. But they announced it during the event. I think it was earlier this morning or yesterday. I can't remember which one, what it was.
And I love that Pastor Jack drew the analogy with the book of Esther. So that's what he used to analogize the time that we're in, because one thing that he constantly advises us, which is something I was lucky enough to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to do since I started reading the Bible, is to take every piece of good news and advice given in the Bible and personally apply it, practically apply it to yourself. Think that all of the promises of God are coming to you directly, and that all of the passages and all of the stories are relevant for all time. It's alive. The Bible's alive. And so he was saying that the book of Esther is the young Jewish woman that nobody knows is Jewish, but she's in this Babylonian corrupt society, and she gets to influence the king, but risks her own life, risks death to save her people. And it ends up victorious. So it's just advice to us that, you know, don't worry about what you're up against. Know that the Lord is with you and commands us to be courageous and strong.
There's some amazing characters in the Bible.
They are flawed, you know, some of them broken, some of them a little bit nuts. I mean, Abraham kept trying to sell his wife. It was bizarre. so there's hope for us all.
Yeah. I mean, the characters make the Bible, like the characters in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, you have the right characters, but you see these people that are just remind you that, I mean, even Jesus Christ, you know, basically poor,
carpenter,
homeless, walking around in sandals, you know?
Yep.
And in his legacy has lived on more powerfully than any other living person ever in our world history.
Yes.
And just was a carpenter.
No, I mean, in the flesh.
Yes, in the flesh.
The flesh part of him.
Yes, I know. But it's just amazing. I mean, but Moses, let's talk about Moses, about what he went through, about Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the stories of these people that were just incredible characters and flawed characters, like you said, that were murderers and just And then amazing things. They've lived, their legacy has lived on forever to affect us, to teach us how to live our life. All right, Deborah, I'll watch it and get back to you. Yeah, it's so weird that that just kind of, I don't know how that happened, but it did. Anyway, he needs to do this more so people don't forget and become complacent with this election. Yeah.
Yeah. Right Side Media. That's what we were watching.
Yeah, that's what we were watching.
That got clipped off. So
I don't know how it happened, but it did. But we'll fix it.
I think it's because you tried to pause it and it didn't pause.
Well, yeah. Normally that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff I pause. Maybe it was just the length of it.
Could be.
Yeah. Very good. Well, all right. Anything else?
No.
Before we sign off?
Wishing everybody a beautiful, blessed day.
Yeah. Let me just remind people of this amazing bit of work.
Small.
I just want to remind people that this is an important read right here.
Why, thank you.
You can't miss it. By who?
Me!
Hedia Miramati, soon to be Hedia Falco. Evangelical Sex Scandals and Our False Holiness.
Yeah, this issue about sex scandals is very, it's an important issue for me. I hate the hypocrisy. Not that we all don't have failures and can have public failures or private failures, but just the fact that women could be abused and manipulated for years and that nobody investigates these issues and allows people in a position to manipulate and abuse women to continue. Mm. And that's a failure on the part of these churches and institutions to allow that to continue.
Fantastic read.
Hopefully
I'll put the link in the comments here.
Thank
you. So if you hadn't had a chance, make sure, and same thing, you leave a review, because that's what pushes these things out. If you didn't know, you probably do, but when people comment and give reviews, it forces out so other people can see it and puts it in front of their face. And it's an amazing article.
Thank you.
Amazing job. And that's not just because I love you.
Well, I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their Sunday.
Yes, Sundays are the best day. Sunday fun day.
Sunday's fun day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice in it.
All right. With that, we love you guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Yes.
For sure.
God bless everyone.
All right. Take care. Bye.